Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, everybody, on a Tuesday at 2 o'clock. You know what that means. We're live and local for the next 4 hours, 2 to 6 every weekday. It's Sheeman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN. By the way, tonight is poker night for us out at the Dog Track at Bonita Beach Road. Come on by at 7 o'clock. Maybe you win $100 for knocking us out. We've got tickets to the City of Palms Classic to give away. We will be broadcasting live from there, by the way, on Friday. And we have WWE Live tickets to give away. All that coming up, plus Adam Schefter. If you want to jump on the program, it is 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You may follow me on Twitter at CraigESPN. You can follow Pete Shepherd on PSHEP 326. Pete Shepherd, how are you today, sir?
I'm a little song for you to start.
Oh, okay.
Ready?
Are you going to sing this?
I'm going to sing it. Yeah, I am going to sing it. Yep.
All right, go ahead.
All right, now write this down.
All right.
Expansion is near, baby, it's coming real soon. From 4 to 8 teams, I said it first in this room. That's all I got so far, but that's pretty good.
Wow. That's a good start.
Wow. It's
getting ready to dump it, man. It was terrible.
No, we'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah, we got to all that.
And I got to say, right off the bat, Penny Marshall. Yes, Laverne of Laverne and Shirley has passed away. Laverne. Director of League of Their Own and just a... Yeah, she's a Hollywood legend, really.
She and her dad,
Gary Marshall. Yeah, but she passed away a little while ago at 75 years old.
Wow. Did not know that.
Wow, but...
What do we do with all those turtleneck shirts that had the big cursive L on it?
The big L, yeah. That's funny.
Laverne and Shirley.
Classic.
By the way, Laverne and Shirley...
It's Happy Days,
Laverne and Shirley. Because Chris does not know. Laverne and Shirley is a spinoff of Happy Days.
Happy Days on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock, followed by Laverne and Shirley. It was... And then Mork and Mindy afterwards. It was great.
Another spinoff of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, those times.
So it was like Joey.
No, it was. These were successful.
These were all highly rated shows on primetime TV. Yeah. And they all had a long run.
Nobody knew who Robin Williams was till he went on Happy Days. Nobody.
Right.
And he improvised almost every line he had. It was in like 2 episodes, maybe 3. But the first time anybody ever saw him, didn't you know he was, we were 10, 11 years old.
Yeah.
I went, who in the hell is this guy? I've never seen anything like it. And it was just absolutely. You doubled over laughing.
Terrible accent in Good Will Hunting.
Nano. Everybody had a bad accent. Good. So did
Matt Damon.
Sounds like this show when we talk about the harbor.
That's your accent. Shamil, Shamazo, Haas and Pest Incorporated. Oh, who's going to? Oh, that's too bad. That's a shame.
Is Shirley still hanging in there?
Shirley's still hanging in there.
Shirley Feeney.
For a guy that claims to not know what this show is, you've got your facts straight. You're on top of it.
Well, you talked about the curse of L. That's not going to stand for Shirley, huh?
No.
Right. It's not. Pretty easy to keep straight.
All right. Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, well, that's sad news.
Look at that favorite Laverne and Shirley moment today, as an aside.
A few of them. The big ragu. Carmine.
Oh, there was one.
Lenny and Squiggy. I've told you this before.
Hello.
I've told you on this show before. I'll repeat it again.
Yeah, you were with Squiggy, weren't you?
My first Hollywood star meeting when I lived in Los Angeles for 10 years was Squiggy. And I don't know the real actor's name. I apologize. He was really big into baseball, so he came by our studios one day. And in fact, I think he had some ownership in a minor league team or something like that. But he was promoting something. I got to meet him, and that was my first Hollywood star that I met.
And Cindy Williams, who played Shirley Feeney, and she's still around. See, all that whole crew was all part of. In the mid-70s, right before Star Wars, when George Lucas directed, what was that show that took place in the 50s? They were all in it. What was the movie?
American Graffiti?
American Graffiti.
Yeah.
And, like, Cindy Williams was almost at the part of Princess Leia in Star Wars and not Carrie Fisher.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I knew about American Graffiti. Harrison Ford was in American Graffiti. That was, like, his first role.
So was Ron Howard. So was Cindy Williams. So was Penny Moore. They were all in it.
And then Ron Howard switched gears and became, like, the most powerful director.
Yeah. But that was after when he went bald on Happy Days in the final season. punched Fonzie in one of the episodes at the end, and then all hell. Then that was that. But it had its run.
Yeah, it's all good. Those
Thursday nights, man, that was it. It was Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and then later on Mork.
Well, back when there were only four channels.
Yeah,
we had six or seven.
I had about
then.
Four. Well, I didn't count the PBS channels because I didn't go UHF.
Guess she died from complications of diabetes, I'm reading.
What's UHF?
UHF was...
Those are the big number channels.
Like you basically... Had, see,
what,
basically,
the big number channels like 13?
Your dial went 2 through 13, I think it was.
Your WB, your CW.
Yeah, okay.
Those would be...
Then you had a secondary set of channels with a different dial.
Like the B side of a cassette tape.
Like, okay. So for the first dial, that was 1 through 13. Then it had like this open part, like it wasn't channel 14, but you click it there. It's kind of like the version of setting your VCR to channel 3.
And then
you go down to the second dial, and then you can dial in your channel 46 or your channel 24, whatever your
So
those were the stations. Those were the stations, the UHF stations that had the cartoons in the day and at night, and a lot of them, Gilligan's Island, Brady Bunch.
So
reruns,
just so I'm getting this right, you're explaining to me how you got the UHF channels or whatever they're called.
Yes.
By likening it to a VCR?
Yes.
Well, not really.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what about the VCR? Because once again, now you're before my time.
We didn't have VCRs at this point. And by the way, these things I'm telling you about, you had to get off of your ass and actually turn a dial.
And you had sounds to have an exhausting.
Outdoor, you had to have an outdoor antenna, and you better have a damn... We were lucky at our house growing up. My dad had... We had a really good outdoor antenna to get at our place, channel 56, 38, 27.
Yeah.
And it. Otherwise, you weren't seeing cartoons at night or whatever, Brady Bunch, that kind of stuff. That's where we rolled. Hmm. But yes, getting up and changing the channel. And you watched what your parents were going to watch. That's what you watched.
See, that's ridiculous.
Sometimes.
Well, but you could because it was semi-wholesome. I mean, you would never have
a lot of times we
stuff
like,
the kids couldn't see on primetime.
We all watched Happy Days. We all watched Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah. You watch it together as a happy family.
Yeah. And that's
David L. Lander with Squiggy. Thank you,
yes.
239.
And Michael McKean played Lenny, who is a tremendous actor. And he's still out. He's still doing a great job. And
what was that rock and roll movie he did? They played
Crybaby.
Oh, this is God. What shit was called?
This is Spinal Tap.
Spinal Tap. Yeah, thank you.
But he was just in the spinoff to Breaking Bad. There, A Better Call Saul. He played Saul's brother. Mm. I mean, he's a tremendous actor. Tremendous actor.
Well, while we talk about all these shows that were highly rated back in the day, I'm a little surprised. The game last night drew a pretty good number, even though it was kind of a boring game, I thought.
I fell asleep in the second half, but I did wake up to see New Orleans try in every way to pee that game away.
Yeah.
It's just stupid. Kick the field goal. I don't understand. I think these coaches are trying, they're getting too smart. They're outthinking themselves.
Yes.
Kick the field goal, go up 14-9, and your defense is playing great. Cam Newton can't throw from here to there. He's got an Andrew Luck problem, shoulder injury.
Yeah.
Go up by 5. What are you afraid of?
I agree.
And they got the first down. Then they take your best running back out of the game and put what's his name in so he can fumble at the 1-inch line and fumble it across the goal line for a touchback.
Yeah.
Sean Payton's very lucky because that was just dumb. Dumb.
It was. It's a very low.
Kick the field goal. I get it. Come on. There are times where you can be a grad. A lot of these coaches.
How many times have I told you that they could pay me the millions? I could be either a head coach or a GM and make the smart decisions. Make the smart mathematical decisions in football. I can do it. I can't. They outthink themselves. They get crazy with this stuff. So 12 now. I will say this about the Saints, though. The Saints, I don't know if they're clicking on all cylinders or not because they're not scoring like they used to, but I will say this. They know how to win games in the 40s, and they know how to win games in the teens. That's a pretty good sign.
I would say they're the most dangerous team. My Super Bowl pick, by the way. I'd say the most dangerous team right now, but it's still so – I mean, that game was right there for the Panthers to take. It banged up and everything.
I was thinking about that last night. What were your Super Bowl picks? I had New Orleans, Houston.
I had Houston, New Orleans as well.
Yeah. Oh. We all three didn't have it because that's what I thought I had.
Well, where's the paper?
You wrote
it down behind you.
Look,
I think Chris.
Is the gecko in there dead somewhere?
Yeah, behind the dead gecko.
Well, I didn't write it down, guys.
I'm pretty sure I had New Orleans versus Houston as my Super Bowl pick. And I have no love for Houston having come from there. I just said
all right,
that.
Let me go through my papers.
All right. Talk amongst yourselves. So here's the other thing. And we talked about Ron Rivera being on the hot seat. I don't know what he's going to do about Cam Newton. Cam Newton clearly is injured, in my opinion, and should not be on the football field.
You got to shut him down. And I know they're technically still alive as the ninth seed, but come on. You got to shut him down. And for his press conference, you saw him all happy and handsome and dazzled up as always.
Yeah.
Looking dapper. But he doesn't know what's wrong with him. It sounds very much like Andrew Luck to me. And if he doesn't know what's wrong with him, that tells me the trainer hasn't told him what's wrong with him, which means the doctor hasn't told him. So, I don't know, some kind of tear in the shoulder or some kind of, whether it's tricep, bicep, shoulder, rotator cuff, something is not right.
Well,
and he should absolutely be shut down
back to the time machine a year and a half ago. You know, when we used to talk to Pat Kerwin with some regular basis, I think every other week it was like, all right, update us on Cam Newton and update us on Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
Both of them. And Cam Newton, you know, his teammates made comments last night like, well, they admire him for being tough and playing and all that. But this happened again in 2016, if we go again back in the time machine, when Cam Newton threw an interception in week 13 against the Chargers, and then he ran downfield trying to make the tackle and was not successful on a pick six, and he injured his shoulder there. And he continued to play through the pain to be tough. Well, it turned out it was a torn rotator that he was playing through. That's not very smart. He ultimately did have surgery in 2017, and that's when I make the comparisons. Mm-hmm. The Luck and the Cam Newton were both going through rehab at the same time, and we were wondering who would make it onto the field first. He lost all of his preseason or his offseason in 2017 to get on the football field. But obviously something is wrong. I don't know if it's the same injury. If it is, that's really bad news. If it's that same repaired rotator from the surgery from 2 years ago, but he clearly is not well and does not need to be. If that's your franchise guy that you want to stick with, you don't want him. The last six games, and they have lost six games in a row. 9 touchdowns, 9 interceptions for Cam Newton.
Yeah,
that, anyway, that's not good.
Sacked 4 times last night, forced 2 turnovers, the Saints defense. By the way, they've allowed opponents to 17 points or fewer, 6 straight game. But clearly, and then you take into consideration, don't forget how often Cam's been banged up.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
he's refereed
penalties
different.
That weren't called, that should have been called. So, and he's just, he's an unbelievable athletic specimen. This guy's just a beast, but... Mm. Clearly, you are endangering the rest of his career, or at least next season, by keeping him out there to play. Yep. And I hope that the owner doesn't overrule Rivera. I think Rivera wants to sit him, but technically they're still in it at 6-8. But they need a lot of help. Yep. Washington, Philadelphia are still ahead of them by a game, and they need a lot of help.
I do have a fun fact from last night's game.
I like fun facts.
Running back Christian McCaffrey, of course, was some of their only offense yesterday.
What a pass!
Yeah. Ran the ball 15 times for 53 yards, caught 8 passes for 67 yards, and threw a 50-yard touchdown pass on that trick play. That made McCaffrey the first player since somebody else, who I will mention in a moment, to have 50 or more yards rushing, receiving, and passing in the same game. Do you know who it is?
Rushing, receiving, passing in the same game.
50 yards or more in all three categories.
Rushing, receiving, and passing. Is it somebody in the last 10 years?
No.
Walter Payton?
Yes.
I was just
Walter did it the last game of the 85 season, regular season game. Walter Payton, it's only been done 4 times in the entire history of the NFL. But yeah, Walter Payton was the last guy to do that in 1985.
Yep.
That Christian McCaffrey's pretty good.
Yes. How about Eli Apple? What are you thinking, John? This guy's been reborn in New Orleans after the Giants let him go.
Well, it's funny. So Eli Apple gets out of New York. And does well. We got Amari Cooper leaving Oakland and all of a sudden doing very well in Dallas. It's like these guys change the scenery, helps them out a little bit. I don't know. Sometimes that's too much to ask for some of these players, but anyway. Did you guys see John Gruden mocking Stephen A. Smith? This was pretty funny. So, Stephen A. Smith had his breakdown on First Take last week, where he was talking about the Chiefs, talking about can't wait to see Spencer Ware, can't wait to see Hunter Henry, Derek John, all these guys that aren't on the team anymore. And so John Gruden was asked about his upcoming game, and then he started getting questions about Amari Cooper. And John Gruden deflected this very nicely. He said, well, we got to start getting ready for Dan Ross and Booby Clark, and we got to watch out for Isaac Curtis, and we got to get Tim Brown and all of our receivers ready to play. All these players that haven't played since the 70s, 80s, and 90s. Oh, I thought that was a good jab at Stephen A. Smith by John. I give John Gruden credit for that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Booby Clark. I used to have a football card of Booby Clark. I remember.
Really?
Him. Yeah. We've had players named Booby and Booger in the NFL.
Boogie, Boogie. Booger, yeah. Booby, Pork Chop, yeah. Lamb Chop.
It's all good. It's all good. Talking about other quarterbacks that we might want to sit, Aaron Rodgers said he tweaked his groin on the last play of the first half last week, and now Joe Philbin's trying to decide, well, do we play Aaron Rodgers or do we shut him down for the future? So he's not well either.
You shut him down.
I think so.
Why would you stick him out there?
All right, I got it.
Because Joe Philbin's fighting for a job.
They're eliminated.
I know, but I think Joe Philbin, if he wins these next two games, thinks he can get the job.
If Joe Philbin plays him and he really gets hurt or injures himself further, what? All hell's going to break loose. And Philbin's not playing for a job. Everybody knows it.
I think he's...
He's not coaching for a job.
Yeah, you're...
There's no way he's... This is...
Look, I'm not going to rule it out. I'm not going to rule out that they just decided to give it to Joe Philbin.
No, Craig.
What are they going to do?
In a million years.
No,
get Harbaugh.
No. Okay, that's what's not happening in
Joe
a million years.
Joe Philbin will not even be a head coach in the league next year, no matter what happens. No way. You talk about your typical, stereotypical, arbitrary, lame duck coach that you're looking at, Joe Philbin. Boom. He's not good.
I'm just going to tell you. If Aaron Rodgers likes him,
no way the Packers are bringing him back. I'm sorry, sir. I disagree entirely.
You disagree with him all the time.
No,
but you're wrong half the time, so it doesn't matter.
I don't disagree with you a lot.
Yes,
but
you
this
do.
Is, this is like, sandwich.
I'm tired of sandwiches. I've still got my asterisks on the board. I would like a Reuben when Jim Harbaugh is on the sideline for Michigan.
I'll go
in
double
week
sandwich
one.
Or nothing with it. That he's not even a head coach in the league.
He might not be.
He shouldn't be.
But I'm not giving up my surefire sandwich on Jim Harbaugh coaching week one.
Yeah,
I'm keeping that on the board.
I'll give you a chance to get out of it with double or nothing here.
Nope.
No double or nothing with Philbin sandwiches.
Not going to do it.
Because there's no way.
Not going to do it.
Put that on a poll. Can we do that?
Can we do what?
Will Joe Philbin be the next head coach of the Packers? I guarantee you, 98% would say no.
Yeah, we can do that.
Yeah, put it on there. It won't be 98%.
Yes, it will.
I mean, it might be two-thirds. It ain't going to be 98%.
It will be. Who would want Joe Philbin as the coach of the Packers?
Aaron freaking Rodgers, that's who.
Because of what?
They lost last week.
Because
he likes to run the show.
In Chicago, a place where I think he's won 7 in a row. And the team's won 21 out of 25 there, except under Joe Philbin. Lost.
Look, everybody isn't all Jim Harbaugh and Mike Shanahan. They might not get the big name they want.
They are not bringing back Joe Philbin to be the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
All right. I feel like we were about to segue before that into something else before we got into that.
Super Bowl picks.
Oh, you found them?
I found them.
Yeah.
Where were you looking?
I got my archives.
Oh, you went back to audio tape?
Yeah.
You knew the date and everything?
Well,
you went back to
I remember I missed that day for some reason.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was, but I remember driving around because my TV went out that afternoon.
Yeah.
So I had to go buy a new one, obviously.
Yeah.
And I found it.
All right.
Pretty quick, right?
I'm shocked.
We all had the Houston Texans.
Yeah?
We all had the Houston Texans.
By the way,
Texans
they started 0-3.
Yeah, not a great start. Pete and I have the same Super Bowl.
Okay.
We both have New Orleans against Houston.
Who did I pick for the
NFC?
You
picked the Rams.
Ooh.
All right. You picked the Rams to beat the Saints in the NFC Championship.
Okay. Yes. All right, I guess I'll have to stick with
that. That's what it'd be now. They'd be playing in New Orleans.
Yeah. All right. Very good, Chris. Way to dig that up.
Sounds about right.
All right. How about us? All very reasonable.
How about us? I'm in a singing mood today.
Surprised you didn't pick your Patriots.
I had Houston beating him in the AFC Championship game. Long way to go.
Yeah.
They'll be the number two seed by next week. Philly's going to go beat Houston, and Patriots are going to win the next two, and they'll be the number two seed, and then we'll see what happens.
We back on Philly now? They're good now, or what?
No, but I think they're fighting for they're right there.
Yeah.
Your Detroit Lions,
yes,
can upset Minnesota. They're 5.5-point dogs going into the game on Sunday. There's no guarantee Minnesota wins that game.
Speaking of me always being right.
And if Detroit wins that game and Philly wins, guess what? The Eagles will be the number six seed.
Could you do me a quick favor before we go to the phones? Could you look up the NFC standings right now?
I got them right here.
Okay. Could you tell me what the Lions' record is today?
Lions' record today is exactly 5-9.
In May, when the schedule came out, I said to you, I am struggling to find six wins for the Lions.
I gave me.
Chris can go back to the tape and find that, too.
I can't go back that far.
I agree. I confirmed that.
And you did say that.
And I did. And I
you
said
no, they're going to compete for the division.
Oh, well, they were until.
What? They didn't.
If they won that game, they'd be 6-8, 7-9, and 7.
All the Lions did this year was beat your sorry ass Patriots and beat your sorry ass Dolphins, and that's about all I have to hang my hat on.
We'll talk about the Dolphins like that.
They could have easily. I mean, all they had to do if they had won eight games right now, they would be ahead of Minnesota.
If I said I can't find six wins on the schedule, we got five with two games to go against Minnesota and against the Packers.
I know my team.
I'll tell you what your problem is. I'll tell you what your problem is.
I know my alleys.
Your alley. Here's one alley you can't go down. You understand football, I will grant you that. But sometimes you don't understand football in terms of other teams, not the Patriots. Oh, because you cannot apply normal logic to teams like the Lions and occasionally teams like the Dolphins from your Patriot background.
Go back to Thanksgiving Day and that pathetic pick six that he threw. You don't expect that.
They
should have won that game. They had the Bears. They should have won that game. They had it.
Yes, they should have. But I know better. I know how this song plays out. I know the words to the song.
407 with a good text. So now we know one thing for sure. Houston will not be in the Super Bowl. Probably.
Fact.
Probably.
Let's go to the phones. John in Fort Myers. You're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, John.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Listen, as a Dolphin fan, this whole Joe Philbin thing, becoming a head coach?
Yeah.
We've seen it. Doesn't work well.
No, it doesn't.
I knew that call was coming.
Well, here's the thing. As what I could only describe him looking like is a lobbyist for the corn industry, the fact that he basically, it's almost like he failed out of college and ran back home, and the Packers, they just, arms wide open, welcomed him back. So will they hire him as head coach? I don't think so, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Do not be shocked.
That would be the shocker of the year in the NFL.
I don't think so.
Yes, it would.
No, the shocker of the year. We have far bigger shockers than that.
Joe Philbin is not coaching the Packers or anybody else in the NFL next year.
I think you need to open your mind
to the possibility. He might get hired as a special assistant. He won't even be named as a coordinator somewhere.
Are you arguing Joe Philbin should be the coach of the Packers?
He is. Don't be surprised if he is. He's out of his mind.
No, I was listening to our Super Bowl picks. Yeah. I was trying to find that.
No, he thinks Joe Philbin has gotten a million times million years. No way.
Packers will settle on him.
They will not settle on him.
They ain't getting Jim Harbaugh. They ain't getting Mike Shanahan. They're not getting Bob
DNA
Stoops.
Testing. Aaron Rodgers could find out that Joe Philbin somehow is his mother and father, and they're still not going to keep him on the team.
That can't happen.
Being tongue-in-cheek. Could happen in a movie.
It could in a movie.
Tell you what, I'll give you Matt Patricia right now.
Wasn't there a Danny DeVito movie about him being pregnant? With Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yes. No, that was called Twin. There's an old movie came out in the 70s. It's called The Rabbit Test. And I forget who was in it. It was like its cult movie. Fuck, supposed to be a comedy.
The guy
got pregnant. I forget who was in it, but never. I remember saw it once. It was really stupid.
Strange.
All right. Joe Philbin.
239-337 ESPN.
Why did you say that, Craig?
He thinks the Packers are stupid.
Because the Packers are stupid.
They're not stupid. They're one of the best-run franchises in football.
Are they?
Yes,
are they really?
Do you think all those 200,000-300,000 people that have stock in that team that have a say would ever vote to have Joe? Oh, here it is.
As the 239 says, if Joe Philbin's the Packers coach, I will sell my shares in the team.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. It's out there. 100% so far, no.
Okay, what, two votes?
Yes.
You just put it up. All right, coming up, our next argument. Expansion. Oh. Jim Delaney speaks.
Oh, gosh.
Told you. One of many.
This
we'll go through the
conversation
list come back.
Again.
Yes. Oh, no. It's
like
happening.
Pounding our heads into the wall.
You know it's going to happen.
No.
Just accept it's going to happen.
Yes, in 2027.
Yes.
No. When the
I'm with Chris in 2027.
I'll bet you a sandwich bro. I'll bet you seven more sandwiches.
No, you
know
got
I'm
too many
right.
outstanding sandwich bags out
there.
I'm
going to cut back on sandwiches.
I don't. I'm up three sandwiches.
You need to eat more of your celery sticks and less sandwiches.
I'm already.
We're done. All right, but we will discuss because Jim Delaney's talking, the commissioner of the Big Ten, about expansion. All that coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on Southwest Florida Sports Leader 99.3 ESPN.
You can always tweet us at 99.3 ESPN Radio. We might even tweet you back. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepherd, Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN. Don't forget, tonight we are out at the Dog Track. It's our poker night, third Tuesday of every month. We're out there, and we invite all of you to join us. We'll be there at 7 o'clock. You knock us out, and you get a $100 bounty cash on the spot. So it all starts at 7. That's on Bonita Beach Road, so come on by and see us out there. All right, coming up later on, Adam Schefter in 1 hour. Also give away some WWE Live tickets and also some City of Palms Basketball Classic tickets to give away as well. All right, college football. First of all, tonight, bowl season continues. We've got the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl.
UAB
the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl in Boca Raton.
It's only the Boca Raton Bowl to me.
You have to include the sponsor,
Are they
Pete.
Paying me to say it?
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying it.
I was actually told by ESPN that in any press release goes out about you airing it, you have to include the sponsor.
Okay, but this isn't a press release.
And we're airing it tonight?
We are airing it immediately following Scheman and Shepherd pick up coverage at 6.
All right.
What time's the start?
7 kickoff.
Oh, okay, great.
You need an hour pregame for the Cherry Bundy Tart Cherry Boca Raton Bowl.
Oh, no. I'm sure they're going to have a whole bunch of stuff with Save because they're doing a lot of college football this week. They did Tua working out. Looks pretty good.
UAB, they didn't have a football team 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, what a story.
It is a great story.
What a story.
I hope they win. The 2.5-point favorites
and
against
Northern Illinois.
Yep, from the Mac.
I mean,
my famous Mac pick.
That's
Mac
all good.
I always get them confused. Is that where Garoppolo went or is that where Romo went?
Romo,
okay.
Eastern Illinois was
There's a lot of Illinois out there.
It's okay.
Call out to the conversation yesterday. Just Danny White, AD for Central Florida, still wanting Gators AD Scott Strickland to, quote, help put an end to the playoff monopoly and unfair scheduling, even though Florida has offered a 2-for-1, and so be it. Yeah. And Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney telling Nicole Arbuck that he wants to have serious conversations
about
the college
discussing
football playoff.
CFP expansion and, quote, unquote, now. And when Big Jim speaks, people listen. And we already know the people who are on board. Now, John Swofford a couple of years ago said his expansion is inevitable from the ACC. Larry Scott has been on it. But we know once Jim has come forward, I promise you by the end of the week, Larry Scott is going to come forward.
They both went to Eastern Illinois.
Okay, good. I think you're misplacing them now.
Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby is on board. West Virginia President Gordon Gee, you know that. Former Ohio State, he's on board. It's going to happen. It was no way it's taken 6 more years, so 2026. It'll be the year after next. That's when it's going to happen.
I think you were misreading the Jim Delaney quote about now.
Out of your mind.
He says he will have conversations about it
now. Yeah.
Not like expansion must happen now.
Oh, no, I understand
that part. Jim Delaney is about Jim Delaney.
Yes.
And just a week ago in USA Today, he was quoted as saying that there's no clear push for a playoff expansion.
And I told you then that I thought he was full of poo-poo. and he is, because there's no way he or Larry Scott of the Pac-12 are not in favor of expansion. It's ridiculous.
Larry Scott said there are a bunch of different plans out there. And we all settled on 4. 4 seems to be the best, even though his team is the one that will never get in.
I will tell you once again, there is too much money to be made. It is absolutely ridiculous. The FBS playoff is the smallest championship postseason at any major level of football. FCS, Division II, Division III, and high school. There is no way this does not get expanded. There's no way.
It will get expanded after ESPN's contract is up in 2026.
Too much money to be made right now. And especially if Alabama-Clemson are in the championship game again.
Roll Tide.
What, for the fourth time?
People love rematches.
Do they? Four times?
How many Rocky movies have we had? How many Jason movies have we had?
Five.
How many Halloween movies have we had?
Please, don't give anybody in the Rocky...
how many Avengers movies have there been? This is all great stuff.
Don't give any of the Rocky... Don't give any of the Rocky / Creed movie people any ideas. They're liable to put Creed versus Nick Saban in the next one. I don't want to see that.
Ooh, Nick Saban's son fights Creed's son.
there you go.
By the way, your boy Tua is ahead of schedule on the ankle.
I just said, I watched him this morning.
It's a good thing.
He looked good. He's running
very good thing.
Yep.
So, you know who's watching Tua real, real closely? And everything that he's been doing.
The Raiders?
No, Justin Fields, quarterback at Georgia, apparently wants to transfer but might not transfer. Look, he's putting heat on everybody there at Georgia saying, look, start playing me instead of Jake Fromm.
Well, there were rumors going into the national championship game last year that Tua was going to transfer back west.
Right.
From Hawaii, hadn't been getting the playing time, and similar to the situation Justin Fields is in this year.
Yep.
Has a sophomore in front of him that has an outstanding record as a starter, and you don't see where you fit in, and you got to play.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You have to play. But we knew Jake Fromm was a freshman last year when you committed Justin Fields.
I know.
You knew it.
Yeah. You know, speaking of that.
So why did you commit?
I saw a story, and I don't want to get the numbers wrong.
I got to punch it up right now. I got it right
So was it 10 of the last 15 five-star quarterbacks have transferred after a year?
Here's who's training. I got it right here. Okay, let's go chronological
order. Start with Kevin Sumlin and A&M.
Let's start with Alabama.
Kyler Murray.
He's one of them.
Let's start with 2010. Phillip Sims goes from Alabama to Winston-Salem State. Via Virginia.
Whatever became of him?
Nothing. Don't know. Jeff Driskel, 2011,
Florida.
Went from Florida to Louisiana Tech. Gunnar Kiel went from Notre Dame in 2012 to Cincinnati. Max Brown in 2013 went from Southern Cal to Pitt. Kyle Allen, this is where Mr. Mond really got in trouble. Kyle Allen left Texas A&M in 2014, went to Houston. The next year, he lost Kyler Murray. Texas A&M did to Oklahoma.
That's all Kevin Sumlin's losing right there. He recruited him. I couldn't keep him.
Yeah, what did I say? Yeah, Sumlin. 2015, Blake Bennett, Barnett left Alabama.
Alabama?
Went to South Florida via Arizona State.
He transferred twice. He couldn't get the job in Tuscaloosa, so then he transferred to Arizona State. Couldn't get the job there. Had to go to Tampa.
Then Blake Barnett went to Alabama. Went from Alabama to South Florida via Arizona State. The Jacob Eason, 2016, from
Georgia
to Washington.
Shea
Patterson, we all know, Mississippi to Michigan. And Hunter Johnson, Clemson to Northwestern last year.
So, but to Chris's point, if you see a stud in front of you, go somewhere else. Like, I'm all for staying and competing. But if you can see the planes lined up on the runway a certain way and you're fourth cleared for takeoff, do the math. Go somewhere else.
Have a little foresight.
Yeah, exactly. You think you think that much of yourself that you're going to go in there and beat out Jake
Fromm?
Now,
with that being said, Trevor Lawrence, who is the number two quarterback and number two overall player coming out of high school last year, commits to Clemson. You've got Kelly Bryant there in front of you, a redshirt sophomore. But
Kelly Bryant wasn't all that.
Yeah, but he was
the heir apparent.
He was
Deshaun Watson.
Right.
But I think we could see he wasn't Deshaun Watson, and so another quarterback comes in there and says, you know what? I think I can get this job, at least by my sophomore year.
Especially when you've got, so let's look at just blanked on his name. For Georgia, he's transferring. Justin Fields.
Yeah.
So you don't go to Georgia. You're from the state of Georgia.
Right.
Yeah.
There are other options, I can guarantee it.
Only like every other school.
SEC options.
Every D1 school will give him a call.
LSU would have killed to have you commit to their program?
He's looking at Florida State, Ohio State, and Oklahoma.
Which if you're...
I think Oklahoma is a great fit.
If you're a quarterback, you need to get to Norman.
Now, is your coach staying? He might be a guy we're talking about 30 days
from now.
That's
big.
Now,
do the same transfer rules apply? Where if you transfer to Oklahoma, the coach leaves in the offseason, are you free to then transfer anywhere else? But Justin Fields will have to sit out a year.
Yeah, yes. As it sits right now, he will have, unless he gets some kind of exemption, which he won't get.
Which he won't, right.
There's no reason to.
Right.
There's no medical issue. There's nothing. He won't get an exemption as the rules currently stay. But, I like Oklahoma for him.
Absolutely. But he will get – those are the only three schools. I would imagine
– I mean, if you're Taggart, you got to do anything you can to get him to Tallahassee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the black men
– pay him.
Oh, they will.
Somebody pay him.
Somebody will pay him.
Yeah. Pay him.
Yeah. No doubt. Woof. All right. Well, we'll keep our eye on that
This is the way it's going to go, though. Continue to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just natural.
I just – look, if I'm a five-star quarterback coming out of high school, don't go somewhere where there's a five-star freshman. If there's a five-star sophomore, there's a year between you, or there's a gap, go for it. Go fight for it, whatever. But don't – unless you think – because Jake Fromm is you know, only 1 year older than you, you could beat him out. Apparently, that's not the case.
And he's been spectacular this year.
Yeah.
Jake Fromm.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that SEC championship game, we said it. Why do you put why do you bring the freshman in? Why do you bring Justin Fields onto the field?
All I needed to see is what I saw last year in January. His poise as a true 18-year-old in a national championship game was all I need to see. That kid's going to be a stud.
And unfortunately, the second-best team in the country, in my opinion, won't be able to play in this year's playoff because we don't have expansion, which we will in 2 years, which is why a big-time reason why you need expansion.
Maybe that's why he's leaving. Leaving Georgia. They're always going to be second to Alabama. I'm out of here. I want to go somewhere where I can compete
now,
for
when,
a championship.
When Justin Fields committed to Georgia, though, because he signed in that early signing period, which opens up Thursday?
Yeah,
tomorrow, actually.
It opens tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
At that point, from it, he's coming off of an SEC championship win over Auburn, but he hadn't had the success in the Rose Bowl yet.
Yeah.
He hadn't been within a half of winning a national championship with the Bulldogs either.
Timing.
I just think that the timing didn't help Justin Fields out.
I think you're right.
Committing to Georgia.
Yeah. Now, freshman Matthew Downing, the only other quarterback on Georgia's roster who attempted a pass this past season. So the Bulldogs, they have a commitment from a measly four-star prospect, John Rhys Plumlee from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He's going to be signing tomorrow. And then Georgia plays Texas, as you know, in the Sugar Bowl on January 1st.
See how Kirby does on this signing day this week and how many quarterbacks he goes after.
John Rhys Plumlee. Remember that name.
I remember the Plumleys from Duke. They were there for 20 years.
The triplets?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't triplets, I know.
But it seemed like they were there for 20 years. There was always a Plumlee on the Duke basketball team.
Yeah, Carl does bring up something that happened earlier in the season. There was a baseball player at Georgia who was caught chanting racial things at a football game.
Yeah, that
was and he horrible. Ended up getting his scholarship taken away from him and kicked out of campus.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'll lean on that. I wouldn't think so. Hmm. I mean, if that's something that plays into your decision making, don't you announce you're leaving when it happened in the beginning of the season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just my thought. That to me, it seems like he gets in there for a play. It's almost always a read option.
Yeah,
that's the only way that Kirby Smart will use him. And that he's upset.
He's upset. It's just unfortunate that Georgia can't play for real.
They did. They lost it. SEC title game. That's for real. You're saying that's not for real?
Are they one of the
That's a big boy conference championship.
Are they one of the top four teams in the country?
Apparently
yeah,
not.
Because
just say, what, yes or no, Craig Sheeman. Are they one of the top four teams in the country, in your opinion?
I don't know that answer.
I
don't know that answer.
Do you think all conference championship games are created equal?
No.
Okay, then
but
so
I think
why
the
can't
SEC's
you have,
the best.
Why can't you have two from the same conference?
But because I just saw it. It was the last game. We don't do double headers in football.
That's not the point of this.
I don't need to see it again.
Forget
and yes,
rankings.
You do.
Everything.
No, you don't
have a team play week 17, then open up the playoffs against each other?
Every once in a while that happens.
Pretend you didn't see the rankings for the last 5 weeks, okay? You just saw teams play.
Yeah.
You, Craig Sheeman, are going to sit there and tell me that you don't think Georgia is one of the top four teams in the country. Yes, you do.
Unfortunately for you, we are late for a break. Sound Street is next. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepherd.
Sound Street brought to you by Optimal Male Performance Center in Naples. Go to our website at 99.3ESPN.com. Complete the Optimal Male Performance Questionnaire. Get $2,400 off of your visit.
Saints defense stopping the Panthers on their final drive. Cam Newton, incomplete pass on fourth down. Here was last night on ESPN.
Where's the sense of urgency for Carolina?
Come Here on. We go. Game on the line, fourth and five to stay alive. Incomplete off the hands of Ian Thomas. DeMario Davis getting to Cam Newton.
Drew Brees afterwards said, great teams, they can win ugly too.
There's a lot to be said for that. You know, you find ways to win. Win in a lot of different ways, right? Battle tested. Listen, these last 2 weeks we've had to win in the fourth quarter, right? Had to come back and win in the fourth quarter. On the road, divisional games. I mean, listen, those are going to be hard fought. Those are going to be tough. And I think, again, the great teams find a way, right? They believe. They feel like, you know, we're all going to step up. We're going to do this together. Somebody's going to make a play. We're going to take that momentum and we're going to turn it into a victory.
Can I change my pick from Rams Houston to Saints Houston?
No.
Really?
Dang it. Something to keep aware of, though. Max Unger, their starting center left, concussion protocol, replaced by Cameron Tom. But that's, you know, a position that does not get talked about enough. That
they need to win one of their final two games or have the Rams lose one of their final two to have home field through the playoffs.
All right. A little bit of a melee between the Thunder and the Bulls, emptying the benches. This is Fox Sports Oklahoma.
Proud of the way our guys handled themselves.
Hold on.
Okay. Was that perhaps? That was probably Billy Donovan. We'll hear him next.
We get a reach and foul by Cameron Payne. And now that is an obvious shove. And Jeremy Grant just came over to defend. And now we got a melee here between Robin Lopez and Jeremy Grant as they are really going at it. Everybody coming over as Lopez got really ticked off after Grant came over to defend Westbrook. Adams, also another enforcer, came over.
All right. A little melee last night.
It's just so stupid.
Billy.
I'm so dumb.
I like it. Stupid. A little passion.
Gotta have a little passion in December. Yeah.
Stupid.
Billy Donovan said the fight could have gotten ugly, but the Thunder kept their composure.
Proud of the way our guys handled themselves. When something like that happens, it could have gotten really bad, I think, because it was so close to the benches and the fans and those kind of things. I thought our guys were trying to restrain themselves at the same point, also protect one another.
All right. Billy Dama just got a contract extension, by the way. Mm-hmm. Things have been going well there. Kevin Durant reacting to passing Larry Bird on the all-time scoring list.
You passed Larry Bird tonight on the all-time scoring list. Is that I know you kind of complimented Larry in the past. Is that kind of a cool thing?
Hell yeah! Somebody texted me after the game and showed me a screenshot, and I was giddy like a little kid. I mean, grew up watching Larry Bird, and well, not really. He's older, but you grew up kind of knowing the legend of Larry Legend, and sort of to be amongst the greats. That's all you really want to do. That's a great accomplishment, but I keep going.
All right, keep on going. Nick Saban says, hey, good news, Chris. Tua is ahead of schedule on that gimpy ankle.
He's doing well. You know, I think he's probably ahead of schedule.
Good thing.
He's been able to take a lot of reps. He's been able to throw the ball from the pocket. He can run. I don't think he's 100% changing direction yet, but, he's already – going, 100% on the gravity treadmill. He's been able to practice, and he's made really, really good progress. So we're encouraged by that.
All right. Thank you, Nick Saban. Coming up, we'll play some audio from Charles Barkley talking about this becoming a trend with Leonard Fournette, Marcus Peters kind of going after fans in the stands, and maybe the fans are going after the players a little bit verbally. We'll hear what Sir Charles has to say about that. Plus, Adam Schefter at the bottom of next hour. We'll get caught up on all things NFL. It's Sheeman and Shepard on Southwest Florida Sports Leader, 99.3 ESPN.